I joined the staff team here about 14 years ago, and it was probably my third week on staff. I was working really late Thursday night. My wife hadn't moved out here yet, so I didn't have anything to do but work. So I thought by myself up in the office, but come to find out later, somebody else was here. And my office at that time was in the lower campus on the second floor, kind of the back corner of the property. And someone else was here. They didn't know I was here, and they left. And since they thought they were last, they set the alarm. Well, in the office I was in, there is a motion sensor. And so at one point I moved, I set it off. But I didn't know it because also in that back corner of the lower campus, when the alarm goes off, you can't hear it. So I just continue to work away until all of a sudden behind me, the door suddenly opens and I hear a voice that says, "Let me see your hands." And I'm like, somebody's messing with me, because if you work here, that's what people do. They mess with you, okay? Like, nobody's off limits on that. That's just how we roll. And so I'm like, yeah, yeah, whatever. And I turn around to see two police officers with gun drawn pointed at me. And so I quickly put my hands up and I'm like, "Hey, I work here. I'm a pastor. Like, put the gun down." And so they do actually do, you know, put the gun down. And like, "You work here?" And I'm like, "Yes, I do work here." And like, "Well, let me see some ID." "I'm gonna reach in my pocket, is that okay?" Yeah, and so I reach in my pocket and I pull out my North Carolina driver's license. I hadn't changed my driver's license yet, and so strike one. And I'm like, and they're like, "Well, why does it say North Carolina? I just moved here 3 weeks ago." "Well, you realize you should take care of that first, don't you?" And like, "Well, how do we know you work here? Like what kind of proof? Do you have a business card or something?" "No, I don't. I don't have a business card." And they're like, "Well, do you know the alarm's going off?" And I said, "No, I can't hear anything. Can you hear anything from this room?" And they're like, "No, we can't hear anything." "Well, hey, if you work here, I'm sure you know the code. Let's go down and turn it off." "Nobody's told me the code yet, officer." That was strike three. I start to feel like they're going to cuff me and I'm going to jail. Like, this is really happening, when I realize, you know what? I think my picture's on the website. Like, I think I'm on the website and I have the facilities manager's phone number to give him a call to get the alarm code and shut it off. Would those two things work? And they're like, "Okay." And so I show them on the website. In fact, that's me. And then I call the facilities manager. I get the alarm code. We walk down, shut it off. They give me a speech. They leave. I go change my shorts. That's kind of how that went. I wasn't at all aware of the situation or ready for what was next. And I think when it comes to God's best for our lives, when it comes to what God has next for us, many of us are in the same situation I was in that night in the office. We're not aware at all of what's going on around us, and we're not ready for what is about to happen. And this series next is all about raising our awareness to see what God is up to in our everyday life and helping us be ready for the next that God has for each one of us. We have a theme verse for this series. It's found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 19. I believe that's it. Go ahead and grab that outline out of your program or click over there on notes on the app, or this verse will be on the screen. And I want us to read this theme verse out loud together, if we could do that. Everybody, all of our churches, welcome. Everybody joining in online and Facebook as well. Let's go ahead and read this out loud. Ready, begin. "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." This verse is spoken to the nation of Israel at a time where, in their history, where they are coming out of captivity in Babylon after 70 years. Basically, an entire generation that had been taken from their home had never made it back to their homeland. But now they're going to have the opportunity to go back to their homeland. But the only thing standing between them was about a 900-mile journey through desert and wasteland. And God gives them this word to encourage them, saying, "Hey, I'm doing a new thing. What you've lived through for the last 70 years is not what you're going to live through anymore." And yeah, you got a desert in front of you, but can't you perceive it? Can't you see that I'm with you in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of the wasteland? And this is God's specialty. God does new things. He does good things, amazing things for people who trust him and put their hope in him. He sets captives free, and he makes ways through the desert. He did it then, and he'll do it now. And I believe during the next 4 weeks, God's going to do a new thing in your life. If you will be open to him and say, God, will you help me be a little more aware? And will you make me ready for what is next, that God can do a new thing in your life, that he can set you free, and that he can bring you through a desert or wilderness experience if that's where you feel you are right now. This first week of the message is actually titled, Where is Here? And to help you understand that idea, think about this. Have you ever tried helping someone who is lost? They call you, they're trying to get to your house or something. And when they call you for directions, the first thing you say to them, really the first question you ask is what? Where are you? Yeah, because before you can help someone get to where they want to go, you have to find out actually where they are. Another way to say that is this first principle. Go and write this down if you're taking notes, and I hope you are. To figure out where we are going, we have to know where we are. To figure out where we are going, we have to first know where we are. And so if we're going to talk about what's next, we need to start this week by talking about what is here. Another way to think about this is maybe think about how you go shopping. There's kind of two prevailing strategies when it comes to shopping. One of those I will call the wanderer, and the other is the conqueror. Which one are you? Let me explain. The wanderer is the person that they go to the mall, and they just park wherever, because their whole philosophy is, I'm just going to start on this end and wander through every store, and eventually I'll get to the store that has the one item I really need. And if I happen to pick up a few other things, that's just added bonus. How many of you would admit the shopping strategy, you're a wanderer? Hold them up. Okay. Now, conquerors, that's a completely different strategy. You park the closest possible place to the store that has the one item you need. And if you've never been there, the very first thing you do is you walk in and you look for that big map, you know that big map at malls? And you find the red X that says, you are here. And then, so first of all, you look for the red X, you are here. And then secondly, you look for the store. And then you plan the shortest route from the red X to the store. You avoid all distractions and temptations. No one gets to give you hand lotion samples at any of those carts. It's just, I'm in and I'm out. You are a conqueror. How many of you are conquerors in your shopping strategy? All right, how many of you conquerors married a wanderer? Doesn't God have a sense of humor? That's the way it always works. But the whole idea of that red X at a shopping mall map is really what we're going to talk about today. And my big hope is that you're going to walk out of here realizing wherever your red X is right now, wherever you are in your career, in your life, in your relationships, that God has a purpose and a plan for where you are right now. And so to help us understand this idea, we really have a series story. Every week of this series, we are going to look at this one story from different angles and kind of different parts. It's found in Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. And it's where Jesus meets this guy named Simon Peter at his red X. He was just living his everyday, normal, kind of mundane life when Jesus showed up and changed everything. And so I want to read the entire story this week, and in the weeks to come, we're just going to kind of draw portions from it. But here's this amazing story of, in here they call him Simon, but it's Simon Peter if you know some other Bible stories about him. But here's what it says. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." Now just pause right there.
Don't miss the story. What was Peter doing when Jesus had asked him to use his boat? He was cleaning his nets. All right, so imagine, it's like the end of the workday, man. Like, you want me to go back out there? And so in fact, he replied, "We worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus. He said, "Oh Lord, please leave me, because I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Sounds like an awesome rock band, doesn't it? Sons of Zebedee, right? Okay, let's keep rocking for Jesus here. All right, that wasn't in the notes. It just came to me. "We're also amazed. Jesus replied, 'Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people.' And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus." I mean, just think about that story for a moment. Peter was just going about his normal, everyday routine. And then Jesus showed up in the middle of his mundane, what he thought was just his normal existence. "I didn't catch anything. I'm just cleaning the nets. This is what you got to do." And when Jesus showed up, a miracle happened. And so I want to take the rest of our time today and talk about how do we respond well in our here. Because what I know is some of you, your here is not a place that you really want to be. There's some difficulty relationally right now. There's some difficulty when it comes to career. There's some difficulty in some areas of your life, and you're actually wanting to get out of here, the place you are right now, the red X of your life. You're wanting to move on as quick as possible. But before you do, this week I want to just start with how do we live well in the here so that we can position our lives like Simon, that in the middle of our everyday mundane, we put ourselves in position where miracles can happen. How do we do that? Well, a couple principles we need to remember. The first one is this. Go ahead and write it down. God is with us in our here. God is with us in our here. Even when we feel like our here is just another day, we're just existing, we need to remember that God is with us in our here. That in our present circumstances and situations, we are not alone. And that God might be wanting to do a miracle in what seems mundane or even meaningless. This verse isn't in your notes, but if you want to write it off to the side, you can. Look it up on your own later. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 talks about this idea that in the middle of things that maybe we didn't want, that we don't understand, that God can still do good. And here's, I love the way it says it in the Voice translation. This will be on the screen. It says, "We are confident that God is able to orchestrate everything to work towards something good and beautiful when we love him and accept his invitation to live according to his plan." Now, let me just tell you clearly, this verse is not saying that every circumstance is good and beautiful. Cancer is not good and beautiful. There are a lot of things in life that come our way in this broken, fallen world that is not the way God intended it to be, that he has not yet redeemed, that are not good and beautiful. And so the promise of that verse is not everything that happens in life is good and beautiful, because everything that happens in this broken, fallen world is not good and beautiful. But what that verse is saying is that wherever our ex is, wherever we find our lives in that moment, in our career, in our relationship, in our life, that God can turn beauty out of it. In other places in Scripture, it says that he exchanges beauty for ashes, that things that are broken and lost, that God can redeem, that he has a purpose and a plan, and he can bring good even from bad that he didn't cause. Why can he do that? Because he's God. And I think most of us look at our lives as just this collection of kind of mundane, everyday moments that maybe occasionally something miraculous or good or meaningful happens. But have you ever considered the fact that God has a purpose and a plan for your life right now? Like in the middle of that red X where you are on the map right now, no matter how good or bad or mundane things might appear, God has a purpose and a plan for every part of your life. At school, on your campus, on your job, in your neighborhood, with your friends, whatever you're going through, good or bad, that God has a purpose and a plan in it right now. And that's important to realize that God is with us in our here, because when you realize that God is with you and that God has a plan in every single moment, here's what it does. It makes every moment matter. When you realize that God is with you and that he has a plan, it brings energy to your everyday, because you start living with a sense of anticipation, saying, maybe Jesus is going to show up in this. Maybe that when I tried it on my own just a few moments ago and I didn't catch a thing, that Jesus might just tell me to try it this way and everything could change. That's the power of living every day and every moment, saying, you know what, in the middle of this here, as bad as this is, or as challenging as this is, or as difficult as this job is, or as, you know, difficult as that boss is, or whatever the situation is, that if you start living with this idea that God is with me in the middle of that, it brings some hope, it brings some energy, it brings some purpose to the here. Here's the second thing we need to remember and pull out of this story. Write this down. Here often involves waiting. Here often involves waiting. We don't know all the details of Peter's interaction with Jesus. We know that, I'm sure, before this, Peter had seen Jesus perform maybe some other miracles. Maybe he had heard Jesus teach. It wasn't, you know, I doubt it was just this one interaction, and then, you know, he immediately started following Jesus, as amazing as that interaction is. But there was a period in Peter's life before this, and we don't know his whole story, but where he was just waiting. Like, he was just living. He was just existing and doing what, you know, his passion and his job and his career. And before Jesus showed up, there was just this waiting time. I want you to think about your most recent visit to the doctor or dentist, okay? When you go check into the doctor or dentist, after you go to the reception desk or the front desk, then they ask you to have a seat in what's called the what? Waiting room. And aren't those wonderful places? Waiting rooms are the most awkward places on the planet, are they not? They are awkward. Now, I know they try to do nice things to make you feel comfortable. You know, there's like magazines from 1997 that you can feel free to, you know, browse through and see what was happening in the world back then. There's maybe a TV in the corner with some shows on. Maybe there's some, you know, elevator music playing in the background, something going on. They try to make you comfortable, but you're not comfortable when you're sitting there. And so you do the same thing I do. Here's what I do when I'm there, is I'm looking at the magazine, but really I'm looking at the other people in the room, and I'm like, I wonder what's wrong with them. It's like, ugh, that looks like it could be contagious. Not going to touch that magazine after him, okay? Like, I'm you know, like, think about waiting rooms, right? They're awkward. We don't like to be there. They're not places for great conversation. You don't sit down at the dentist waiting room, and you're like, so, how many cavities do you have? Like, not a normal place for conversations. So waiting rooms are quiet. We feel like people aren't speaking to us. They're awkward. They're places of restlessness, right? Sometimes we're nervous because we're like, how many cavities do I have? How bad is this going to hurt? I don't know what exactly is going to happen with next. Waiting rooms are places of uncertainty. And the same is true for us spiritually. Spiritually speaking, when we have a vision and a dream for what is next in our life, when we feel like there's a clear, someday this is where I'm going to be, or what I'm going to do, or what I want to accomplish, or what I want to be a part of, and we're not there yet, we're here, we can begin to be restless. We can begin to get nervous. We can begin to, you know, in the face of uncertainty, be nervous about the future. But the problem is, if we don't learn to trust God in the waiting, we can miss what he wants to do here, because we will try too hard and move too fast to get there. David in the Bible knew what it was like to wait. David is the central figure of the Old Testament, really the hero of the story of the nation of Israel. And David was anointed at a very young age to be the king of Israel. So he had this next that God had clearly spoken over his life. Although he didn't know when it was going to happen, and he didn't know how it was going to happen. And a long time went by before he was king to when he was anointed to be king. And a whole lot of ups and a whole lot of downs happened in his life. Even to the point where David found himself running from the current king who was trying to kill him. And he just had a small band of followers left at this time. And he's hiding out in a cave, you know, fearing for his life, being hunted down by the person that he had served incredibly faithfully. And at that moment of his red X, he's like, God, where are you? His waiting room, it was not a comfortable place to be. But if you read David's story, you'll see that he learned to wait patiently before the Lord. Like, he struggled, he doubted, he cried out to God, sometimes angrily. God can handle that, by the way. You can express your real feelings to him because he already knows them. Some of you are like, man, if God were here, I'd tell him. He already knows. You can tell him. And when you read the Psalms, David told him over and over again. But at the end, David gets to this place where he writes this in Psalm 40. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And he did, time and time and time again. And ultimately he says, and he turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. You see, it's good to know what's ahead of us, but it's not good for us to be impatient, to move too fast. And our impatience can cause us to miss what God is trying to teach us in the here and now. And that leads to this final point. What happens here actually prepares us for there. So many of us want the there now. We want the dream, the goal, the accomplishment, the next, whatever it is. But the problem is we aren't willing to learn the lessons or wait in the here. We want the there without the preparation of the here. You see, one of the biggest reasons that God has you where you are right now is actually to prepare you for what's next. God has a next for every single one of us. Scripture says his mercies are new every morning. God's always doing a new thing. He always has a new thing for you to step into. But at the same time, he's always preparing you in the here for what that new thing is. And so one of the things that we need to do to be ready for the next is to look at, God, what are you trying to teach me in the here? You see, some of you think that you're ready for that promotion right now. You're ready for that big job right now. But God's trying to hone your skills and build your character in the here so that when you get that big job, when you get that big promotion, you actually have the character to last in that job. You have the skills to be wildly successful in that job. He's trying to prepare you in the here for the there. Others of you, it has to do with finances, that you think someday when you make more money, that's the day that you will finally decide to cross that line and begin to give and be generous. But what you don't know is God's trying to teach you to be generous in the here so that he can bless you with more and trust you to be generous when you actually do get more in the there. He's trying to prepare you here for there. Some of you are single and you don't want to be. And what God's trying to do is he's trying to prepare you for the there. He wants you to learn how to be whole and complete in who you are in Christ so that when you meet him or her, you're not wrongly looking for him or her to complete you because you're already whole and complete in Christ. And so God's trying to prepare you in the here for the there. You see, we have to believe that God knows what he's doing while we go through a preparation process. And ultimately, it's better to be standing still in the will of God than running all over the place in a hurry outside of the will of God. And God has such a unique plan for all of our lives that is so good. And I hope as we begin this series that your sense of awareness that God has a next for you and that his next for you is so very good. I hope that you're going to walk out of here today with a heightened sense of awareness of what God has for you, that God has a next for you, and it's so very, very good. One of the books I recommended on your outline, if you look at the bottom of your outline, maybe on the back side or scroll down to the bottom, there's a few books that go along with some of the themes of this series. One of those is a great book by Eugene Peterson called Run with the Horses. And in his book, he talks about this unique next that God has for every single one of us. That God has something so good and so unique just for you. And I love the way he says it, and so I just want to read it straight from his book. Here's what he says. The Bible makes it clear that every time there is a story of faith, it is completely original. God's creative genius is endless. He never, fatigued and unable to maintain the rigors of creativity, resorts to mass-producing copies. Each life is a fresh canvas on which he uses lines and colors, shades and lights, textures and proportions that he has never used before. We see what is possible. Anyone and everyone is able to live a zestful life that spills out of the stereotype containers that sin-inhibited society provides. Such lives fuse spontaneity and purpose and green the desiccated landscape with meaning. And we see how it is possible. In other words, if you want your next, if you want this unique next that is so good that God has for you, how do we get it? Here's what he says. By plunging into a life of faith, participating in what God initiates in each life, exploring what God is doing in each event. So let me ask you a series of questions here as we get this to a moment of kind of sit and consider. The first one is, where is your red X right now? Like what's going on with what you're here? And are there some areas of your here that you wish you could get out of really quickly? And if that's the case, I want you to know, remember that God is with you in the here. That even in that pain, in that hurt, in the doubt, in the difficulty, in the silence, in the waiting rooms, that God is indeed still with you. And maybe a question to ask instead of, you know, why God is what God? God, what is it you're trying to teach me in the here that will get me ready for the there? Another question to consider is, will you go all in with him to experience what is next? Because the only way that you're going to experience this incredible, unique, awesome next that God has for your life that is so unique to you is if you go all in with him. Plunging in, as he said, or as we've said around here for the last 6 months or so, cannonballing in. And saying, God, I'm all in with your next, with what it is that you're going to invite me into. At my school, on my job, in my neighborhood, in my faith, what is that next? I want you to consider those questions as we share a song with you. The good news is I'm not going to share that song. I'm just going to set up that song. And the professionals are going to sing that song. So be much better that I leave in a moment and let them take over. But here's what I want you to consider. During this song, I just want you to sit, and we want to do this as an opportunity for you to reflect and for you to encounter Jesus, for you to realize that at your red X today, that you are here, that God is with you. The title of this song is God, I Look to You. And this is really kind of a theme song for the series that I told our band. I was like, this is going to be a theme song for the series because this has been a theme song for my life for about the last 6 to 8 weeks. I've had this song on repeat. I've gone on prayer walks for an hour and only played this one song because it's one of those songs that during some times recently of me feeling overwhelmed, of, you know, maybe doubting myself or even doubting God or struggling to believe that I have what it takes for what God, the next that God is calling me into. The statements of faith in this song and the prayers in this song, they've strengthened my faith. And it's helped me to believe that, you know what, I'm not alone. And that in those times of waiting, there's learning. There's strengthening that can happen. And so I hope that that happens for you as you hear this song. So this week, I just want you to sit, and I want you to do more than listen. I want you to lean into the presence of God that I believe is here in this moment. And let him, as this song says, give you vision. And as this song says, let him give you wisdom. and let him give you strength for both the here and the next. Let me pray for us and pray that God will do that for you today. God, I thank you that you are indeed always doing a new thing, that you are not just a God of the past. I thank you that we can look back and we can celebrate and we can see your faithfulness. And God, help us to draw strength from that, knowing that you're a God of the present and a God of the future, that you are with us in the here, but you're calling us to what is next. And so God, I pray for those that are pretty disillusioned or discouraged with their here. There's some things about their here that are struggles right now, relationally, professionally, physically. God, would you give strength? Would you give peace? Would you give wisdom? So God, we sit in this moment and we want to encounter you. We want to hear your voice. We want to experience your presence, and we want to be changed by it. So God, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear what you're up to in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
forever, all my days. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Worthy.